Audiobook from A Space Woman Speaks, through or via radio, to Rolf Tellano. Understanding Publishing Company, 1960, El Monte, California. But message was received in 1954. Quotation: "We normally live on a vibrational level, or wavelength, which is much higher than your own." Foreword: when a book is written for the purpose of reporting to the public information which its author has received from some other source, the value of the book will plainly depend upon a number of factors, among which are the nature of the source of information, the means of communication, and the completeness and the accuracy with which the receiver is able to set forth the information which he has received. Many persons tend to view with skepticism information which has been received through means other than our commonly accepted modes of earthly communication, especially when that communication has taken place over very long distances. In the present era, however, when communication over long distances has become commonplace, and when the impossibility of yesterday becomes the accepted fact of today, thinking people are more concerned with the value of a message than with the means of its transmission. The following text was received by Rolf Tellano in 1954, but because it was felt at that time there would be little likelihood of its acceptance by the general public, its publication was delayed until today, when the factuality of telepathic communication has become more generally known and accepted. We present this book with the hope that you may find much of interest and value within its pages. Daniel W. Fry, Publisher. Introduction: Sightings of strange objects in the sky, popularly known as flying saucers, are so numerous and so well verified that no really intelligent person can now doubt their existence. Certain details force most of them to accept the fact that these spacecraft could not originate on planet Earth. The questions which they now ask, often fearfully, are: what are the sources? Where do they come from? What sort of beings operate them? What is their purpose here? As one of the race of people who control these craft, I shall attempt, with the aid of various associates, to answer these questions. It is my hope that I may thus be able to still the fears of the frightened ones, and encourage the hopes of those who will accept my statements. To introduce myself, my name, translated into your written language, is Borealis. It might be noted that all names used in this explanation have been thus translated. The means of identification which we use would mean nothing to you, and we have attempted to give you, instead, those which would be understandable in your language. The planet which you call Venus is my home. Although do not regard myself as a native, since my people did no originate here. Remark: my present home is not on the Venus you see, but on a higher frequency level world which is somewhat larger than the Venus which you know. See later in this book. Your scientists may tell you that life on this planet is impossible, because the Venusian atmosphere is unsuitable for life. Actually, conditions on the surface of the planet do not concern us, as will be explained later. The planet does, however, teem with life forms of every sort. As a matter of fact, all of the planets and their moons contain life of some sort. The tests which your astronomers have made reached no further than the stratosphere of the various planets, which give no indication as to the conditions on the surface 100 miles or so below. These same tests made on your own stratosphere would indicate that neither are the chemical and temperature conditions suitable for life. To continue the introduction, I am the High Priestess of the Mother Temple of our people on Venus. The details on our religious beliefs are not important to this explanation, but I will tell you that we are monotheists, recognizing one supreme deity as the first cause and creator of all things. We call it the Unnameable, because we believe that no word or name can create the correct mental picture of it. A mind housed in a mortal and finite shell cannot, by its very nature, correctly comprehend that which is immortal and infinite. It has no standards of comparison. Many of your people will reject what I say because they do not have enough education to understand it. Most of your men of science will also reject it because they have too much education, of the wrong sort. Even among those whom we regard as the more advanced among you, there will be some who will at first feel inclined to reject it, because parts of what I say may be in conflict with some religion or philosophy which they have adopted. But the remaining ones will, I believe, be sufficient in number to make my efforts worthwhile. Since I am a mortal being, what I say is subject to all the errors of mortals. While I do have access to records and other sources of information which are not available to you, I am neither omniscient nor infallible, nor, perhaps, entirely free from prejudice. My people, whom you may call the Gnors, are far in advance of yours in science. I also like to think that, on the average, they are somewhat higher in ethics. There are exceptions, however. All is not sweetness and good among us. There are quite wide variations of good and evil. We are neither demons come to destroy you, nor gods come to magically deliver you. We are, in the final analysis, just people. People who are not greatly different from earth folk deep inside, people who live and love, and hope and fear, and, on occasion, laugh and weep. We regard you and greet you as brothers in the truest sense of the word. Borealis. Comment. All planets as well as living beings else, have six main levels of existence, and many of most of the UFOs comes from those higher levels, but can make, a dive, so to say, into lower worlds, and adjust their, material frequency, to fit into the level they will visit, watch over or make help to. Chapter 1 In the Beginning. The Gnors, who operate most, but not all, of the strange craft seen in your skies, are one of the elder races or guardians of your planet. At the present time we are the largest group operating in this solar system, although there are also members of other races present. These elder races have been guarding your planet ever since the first humans appeared on it. At the same time they have been attempting to tutor you, and to guide your development, using subtle pressures which would not hamper your own self-development. There has never been a time since your beginning when they have been completely absent. Their numbers at any particular time vary according to the conditions which prevail. When affairs are developing in a normal and smooth manner, there may be only a small number of observers. In times of crisis their activities greatly increase. These elder races created the physical bodies of your ancestors. They did not, of course, create their spiritual bodies, since this is beyond the ability of any mortal. Those parts of the self are directly evolved from the unnameable. When it was found that Earth was ready for human life, it was determined what physical characteristics were necessary and desirable for its particular environment. Then, by methods very similar to those employed by animal breeders, when they are producing a new species, they develop these characteristics. Carefully selected parents were bred together in such manner as to fix the desired traits and eliminate the undesired ones. The biblical Garden of Eden was the biological laboratory of these elder races. The word Adam is not the name of an individual, but a racial or group name. It was common for the ancients to thus personify an entire race or group with a single name. The custom survives to this day, as witness the personification of several million Britishers as John Bull, etc. The Adams were sent out of the garden, as your Bibles tells, but it was a precautionary measure rather than a punishment. Being in such close contact with the elder races, they were beginning to pick up many things from observation and chance remarks of their mentors. It was feared that they might learn things, which it would not be good for them to know, so early in their development, so they were sent out into the world by themselves. The women naturally got the blame for this, since such has been the custom of men since the beginning of time. Perhaps some ancient Eve was the bottom of it. It is usually the woman who wonders if things could not be improved, and begins to snoop around to find out. As long as man has a comfortable place to sleep, plenty to eat, and is not required to exert himself in any way, he asks no questions. He is satisfied with the status quo. Actually, The thing would have been done eventually in any case. It was a necessary part of their training to put them out on their own at the proper time. In no other way could they be taught to use their mental and physical abilities, and develop resourcefulness. So, in defense of my own sex, I must point out that the worst that can be said of this ancient Eve, is that perhaps she slightly hastened the inevitable. Note particularly that part in your Bible where the Lord God says, "Behold, the man has become as one of us." Since the deity was always recognized as singular, thy should clearly indicate that here was some much lesser being, speaking to a group of equals, specifically, the elder races. However, if any prefer to think that the deity person created the races of men upon earth, I shall not contend with them. In one sense, they are right. Since the unnameable is the sole first cause in the universe, it becomes, by philosophical extension, the creator of all things, even though it may employ mundane means to accomplish the actual creation. This confusion between the real deity and the elder races appears many times in the Bible, and in other ancient writings. The cause was clearly the very advanced scientific and mental abilities of the elder races. The Adams could not even begin to understand them, and so concluded that these must necessarily be supernatural beings. Since this would make them more willing to obey orders and instructions, I fear that the elder races probably made no great effort to disillusion them. As the Adams advanced, they began to get a somewhat truer picture of their mentors. In the latter parts of the Bible they became sons of God, prophets, and other terms somewhat less than divine. The latter Greeks also apparently realized that their gods were beings of exceptional powers, but were actually mortals, and were not always good. The guardians remained on your planet, in person, for many thousands of years. To you, this would be a long time. In our time concept, it was merely an interlude. We not only count our lifespan in thousands of years, but also carry our most important memories forward from one life to the next. The environment on your planet is not favorable for our people, so, as soon as they deemed that the Adams could safely be left to their own resources, the Guardians left. The accounts of their leaving appear in many of your ancient records, although you might have some difficulty in recognizing them. The peoples of those times had no knowledge of science, and so were unable to clearly describe what they saw. Since then, the Guardians have not appeared openly among you, although there have always been a few of their craft in your skies somewhere, and a certain number of surface observers living among you. These latter are necessary because there are certain things which can be done best and most conveniently by personal contact. These are carefully selected and trained, and are able to mingle freely among you without danger of detection. The Gnors, like all of the elder races, have the ability to alter their bodies in any desired manner by using the creative powers of thought. Thus they could simulate any race, or even animal forms if desired. In the present instance this is not necessary, since our natural appearance has a very close superficial resemblance to your own Nordic races, who, incidentally, took their name from us. Our former zone of activity was the North European area, and the people there were our particular charge. In the latter days there was some mixture of elder race blood with the Adams. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all they chose. This statement, like the others in your Bible, refers specifically to the Near East area, which was under the supervision of other peoples. In general, however, these statements would apply equally well to our area and to those of the other peoples. Chapter to the Garden of Eden. As your Bible correctly records, Genesis 64, the elder races lived in the earth, not on it. The surface environment was very unfavorable for them. The Garden of Eden was naturally also in the earth, and the Adams were sent up and out onto the surface. The Apocrypha's account of their first day and night on the surface, first book of Adam and Eve, tells of their dismay when the sun set, and their terror when it rose again the next morning, thus plainly indicating that they were entirely unfamiliar with surface conditions. There were actually several gardens, since each of the elder races was assigned to populate a certain area. There was close cooperation between these groups, and considerable exchange of technical personnel, since certain groups excelled in certain arts. Over all of these groups was a coordinating authority. He was of a higher race than the elders, but was still a mortal, not a true deity. Important decisions were formed by mutual consultation and agreement between groups, and all usually put them into effect at the same time. The biblical accounts actually deal with only one of these areas, the Hebraic Greco-Assyrian zone. However, they would apply, with only minor modifications, to all areas and groups. The various Adamic races have different versions of these first days. Some of their information is factual, but much of it is necessarily allegorical, because the things were beyond the understanding of those who wrote the accounts. Most of these accounts also have suffered much during translations and revisions. Analyzing them with these factors in mind, however, will show that they are all basically the same. The statement that God created man in his own image is correct from either the physical or spiritual point of view. The real, or inner, self is part of the unnameable, so is necessarily in its image. Each of the elder races naturally considered their own racial characteristics to be superior, so made their particular, Adams, to look as nearly like themselves as possible. Various internal changes were necessary, but their creations were superficially the same in appearance as themselves. Thus the material self is also in the image of the material, gods. The parent stock of the Adams consisted of many low vibrational level life forms, both human and non-human, from many other worlds. Persons and animals are occasionally taken from your planet in a similar manner for the purpose of populating some other young world. The consent of such persons is always obtained. The purpose is explained, and they are permitted to make a completely free will decision. Most of them enthusiastically agree. If they should not, all memories of the incident are erased from their minds, and they are returned unharmed in any way. It is almost impossible to trace the genealogy of your present races. Many former land areas no longer exist. Many new ones have arisen. During the resulting mass migrations, there was great intermixing of the races. Most of the present races of your planet are mixtures of several different ancient peoples. In addition to the races, which were actually bred on your planet, there were two other groups who were developed elsewhere and moved to your world en masse when disaster faced their own planets. You formerly had a tertiary moon, which was named Azatlan, although it also was known as Baal to some. Due to certain natural laws, it came so close to Earth that it was torn to pieces by conflicting forces. The fragments fell upon Earth as meteors, and this rain of fire is noted in many of your ancient writings and legends. A few of the fragments still orbit Earth as an asteroid belt. The resulting disturbance also changed the position of Luna and made it unsuitable for surface life. These events had been foreseen, and most of the inhabitants were safely brought to Earth before the catastrophes. The Atlans were settled in the former continent of Atlantis, which took its name from them. They soon outgrew it and spread their colonies all over the Mediterranean area. They are the predominant factor in the present peoples of the nations of this part of the world. The Lunanians were settled in the central part of Asia. Many of them died when certain great geological changes took place in this area, but they have left their mark on many Asiatic peoples. The elder races were forced to their underworld life on this planet because of the radioactive solar emanations on this Earth plane. These caused them to age prematurely, and cut their lifespan to a fraction of its normal length. On our own vibrational level, we are above these particular radiations. We are subject to certain mildly detrimental emanations, greatly increased now by your atomic explosions, but have ways of partially counteracting them. These radioactive poisons are the chief cause of your own short lifespan. They settle in the bones and tissues with a cumulative effect. After they reach a certain concentration, the various organs of your body cease to function in a normal manner, and you eventually grow old. If your scientists were to check a newborn baby, they would find that it did not register any radioactivity. The mother's body filters out all the emanations. As a person grows older, this radioactivity constantly increases. Certain persons are better able to resist this process than others. Those who look young or old for their age would show corresponding differences in their radioactivity. By burrowing deep into the earth, the elder races were able to avoid much of this poisoning, the thick layer of earth acting as a filter. At a certain depth there is a zone of light. Here certain of the energy flows, which are not converted by your stratosphere, are changed into light by the effect of certain elements in the earth. It was in this zone of soft continuous light that the elders built their homes. They did this by disintegrating the material in the space required, and packing its energy into the walls and ceilings to form a lining of very dense and strong material. This eventually grew into a multi-tiered underworld, extending under both land and sea, whose total area was much greater than that of the surface world. The elder races regarded their cavern homes as very undesirable, in spite of their vastness and elaborateness. They were not completely shielded from the radioactive poisons, and consequently suffered many ailments which had been heretofore unknown to them. They felt confined, and longed for their own homes where they could live on the surface. As soon as they deemed the atoms sufficiently advanced to no longer require such close and constant supervision, most of the elders left for their own homes. A few chose to remain behind. The others regarded them as foolish, if not insane, but conceded their right to stay as they desired to do so. When these few who remained were freed from the restraining influence of the main group, they began to bring in evil members of the Adamic peoples to join them as various sadistic orgies. The other surface peoples, whom they were supposed to guide and protect, were constantly tortured and tormented. Among the Adams, the concept of the underworld changed from a place of good to a place of evil. After all other means of controlling them had failed, forces were sent to correct these conditions. Some of the mad gods were removed to other places for treatment. Others were placed in forcible restraint for the remainder of their lives. The entrances to the underworld were sealed. Since then, small groups of varying moral levels have found their way into the underworld through accidentally uncovered entrances. Much of the ancient cavern system still exists, and small groups still live there. The writings of Richard S. Shaver, which caused somewhat of a stir in occult circles a while ago, describe many of the features of the caverns. Like all fictionalized reports, however, they must be read critically. Many things have been distorted by presenting rare or occasional incidents as typical. Some entirely fictional details have been added. The author cannot be entirely blamed for this state of affairs. In order to successfully commercialize a book, one must cater to the intellectual and moral level of the mass mind. This, unfortunately, is not high. Sex is of paramount interest to your people, so this angle was stressed in the most sensational manner possible. If one were to take these tales as factual, he would think that our ancestors were indeed an immoral and dissolute lot. Horror is another subject of great reader fascination, so the Diros were greatly overstressed. There are a few in the elders' abandoned cavern homes who would fall into this classification, but their influence is insignificant. The evil which they do to you is but a drop of water in the ocean when compared to the evil which you do to one another. The evils which plague your world are not due in any important degree to any sinister unseen influence. They are primarily due to your own decadence and degeneration. They follow the old familiar pattern of the general breakdown of intellectual and moral levels which have prefaced the last days of all former civilizations. It is the inexorable end of any social order which seeks to build a master race upon the misery and suffering of its brothers. Your much prized way of life is destined to a lingering and painful death. It is even now in its premonitory death throes. I would be morally dishonest if, in order to avoid offending you, I should pretend otherwise. The pattern could be changed, if your rulers and priesthood were wise. We have carefully scanned their inner thoughts to find if any realized the true nature of the problem which faced them, to find if some, perhaps, would bravely pioneer the way out. With a few very inspiring exceptions, we have not found that for which we sought. Instead, we have found an obstinate determination to hold fast, to strengthen and defend the old order, with all its evils, to ruthlessly destroy any who attempt to change it in any detail. Some speak sincerely of greater justice and freedoms, but frustrate their own dreams by attempting to build them on the rotting foundations of the existing evil institutions. But neither is the correct way the way of the communists. Some of their aims are high, and many have dedicated themselves to the task of attaining these ends. But they attempt the impossible task of attaining good results by evil and unworthy means. The fruit can never be better than the plant upon which it grew. These statements are not a prophecy, in the mystical sense of the word. They are merely statements of the workings of certain inescapable natural laws, and an analysis of certain existing patterns and trends. The results are not necessarily inevitable. By bringing activities into harmony with the natural laws, the pattern could be changed. In all honesty, I must say that there is no present indication that it will be changed, although many of my people are working, in every lawful manner, to influence the thinking of your people to the end that they may change their present course of action. Chapter 3 Everywhere is Home. It could not correctly be said that any of the elder races come from any specific place. They are all space-traveling people who inhabit a countless number of places for varying lengths of time. Perhaps some, or all, of them did have some specific home at one time, but, if so, all records of this have been lost. There are Nors in several different solar systems. For many ages past they have had bases and colonies on Mars and Venus. Others of the elder races have similar installations on other planets. We maintain advanced bases on Luna, as also do several other groups. Since Mars and Venus are the nearest planets to you, they serve as control, or check-in, points for those coming from other parts of the universe to visit your world. It is here that they are briefed on any matters which they should know, and make any necessary preparations for continuing their journey to your planet. It is these visitors who have made most of the contacts with you, since our people seldom have need to personally talk to any of you in the course of their duties. When these visitors say they have come from Mars, or Venus, or some other nearby planet, they are merely stating their last port of call, and not their real origin. Some may visit you on some self-assumed mission. Others are trying to increase their knowledge of the universe. For still others it is merely a sort of pleasure cruise, to amuse them and satisfy their curiosity. The Nors, in common with the other elder races, normally live on a vibrational level, or wavelength, which is much higher than your own. Since your awareness range is a narrow one, we would not exist, so far as your senses are concerned, when we were in our normal state. You would be unaware of us for the same reason that an ordinary radio receiver is unaware of a telecast transmission. You are simply not able to tune up to our channel. Yet we are quite solid and real. There are sounds which your ears cannot hear, and colors which your eyes cannot see. Yet these are actually just as real as those which register on your senses. Our range of perception is much wider than yours. But the difference in levels is so great that we normally are also unaware of you. We do have the ability to extend our perception range down to your level, but for most effective observation it is necessary that we actually convert, or tune, ourselves down to your frequency range. This can be done either by direct mental effort, or by a simulated form of the same energy produced by certain mechanism. At our base on Luna there is a master pulse generator, which blankets your planet with a wave of the correct frequency to accomplish conversion to your vibrational level.